And that was democracy growing up. But it was also science growing up at the same time. It's really clear if you look at the history of the Founding Fathers, a lot of them were very interested in science, and they were interested in the concept of a naturalistic world. They were moving away from supernatural explanations, and they were rejecting things like a supernatural concept of power, where it transmitted because of a very vague concept of birthright. They were moving towards a naturalistic concept. And if you look, for example, in the Declaration of Independence, they talk about nature and nature's God. They don't talk about God and God's nature. They're talking about the power of nature to tell us who we are. So as part of that, they were coming to us with a concept that was about anatomical commonality. And in doing so, they were really setting up in a beautiful way the civil rights movement for the future. They didn't think of it that way, but they did it for us, and it was great. So what happened years afterwards? What happened was women, for example, who wanted the right to vote, took the Founding Fathers' concept of anatomical commonality being more important than anatomical difference and said, the fact that we have a uterus and ovaries is not significant enough in terms of a difference to mean that we shouldn't have the right to vote, the right to full citizenship, the right to own property, et cetera, et cetera. And women successfully argued that. Next came the successful civil rights movement, where we found people like Sojourner Truth, you know, talking about, ain't I a woman? We find men on the marching lines of the civil rights movement saying, I am a man. Again, people of color appealing to a commonality of anatomy over a difference of anatomy, again, successfully. We see the same thing with the disability rights movement. The problem is, of course, that as we begin to look at all that commonality, we have to begin to question why we maintain certain divisions. Now, mind you, I want to maintain some divisions anatomically in our culture. For example, I don't want to give a fish the same rights as a human. I don't want to say we give up entirely on anatomy. I don't want to say five-year-olds should be allowed to consent to sex or consent to marry. So there are some anatomical divisions that make sense to me and that I think we should retain. But the challenge is trying to figure out which ones they are and why do we retain them and do they have meaning. So let's go back to those two beings conceived at the beginning of this talk. We have two beings both conceived in the middle of 1979 on the exact same day. Let's imagine one of them, Mary, is born 3 months prematurely. So she's born on June 1st, 1980. Henry, by contrast, is born a term. So he's born on March 1st, 1980. Simply by virtue of the fact that Mary was born prematurely 3 months, she comes into all sorts of rights 3 months earlier than Henry does. The right to consent to sex, the right to vote, the right to drink. Henry has to wait for all of that, not because he's actually any different in age biologically, except in terms of when he was born. We find other kinds of weirdness in terms of what their rights are. Henry, by virtue of being assumed to be male, although I haven't told you that he's the XY one, by virtue of being assumed to be male, is now liable to be drafted, which Mary does not have to worry about. Mary, meanwhile, cannot in all the states have the same right that Henry has in all the states, namely the right to marry. Henry can marry in every state a woman, but Mary can only marry today in a few states a woman. So we have these anatomical categories that persist that are in many ways sort of problematic and questionable.